So how about some other things in the package deal of salvation? How are they generated? There's a scripture over in Galatians 5:6. It said there's a motivation that causes faith to work. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Amen. A few of you know. It's love. It's love. Faith doesn't work unless there's love involved in it. God set it up that way. That's His plan. That's the way He designed it. Can you imagine having a two-year-old with a shotgun? There's power there, but it might not be used appropriately. The power of God is powerful. It does a lot of things. But there needs to be some instruction and motivation to go with that power to release it so that it does do good. Did you know that you have power too? You're one of the most powerful things on this earth. In fact, if you really want to get down to it, each one of us has the ability to stop the power of God in our lives. No demon, Satan himself, does not have the ability nor the power to stop anything that God has designed for you of taking place in your life unless you stop it. That's good news. That is great news. I see y'all are thinking, that's good. I like that. So we got a motivation here of love. Can you give away what you have not received? Can you love the unlovely unless you really are loved? It takes some revelation. And I pray today that God, as He moves in your life today, that you'll have that revelation, a better revelation of the love of God. Because the love of God humbles you to where you realize it's all about God and what He did through Jesus. It's all about the gospel. And you can focus real easily on the gospel then, because you know, just as I stand up here making a bold statement, today is the day of manifestation of what you've been praying for, what you've been waiting on, what you wanted God to do in your life. It's not my power. It's His Word. He said it. He's the one that backs it up. All He told me to do was proclaim it. All He asked you to do is receive it. And He set that whole thing in motion according to His Word of how to receive. So we got the gospel is the power being released. We have faith being the thing that pulls that power over into the natural realm. And we've talked about how love is the motivating thing behind that faith. We've also said that for those that have come from the background of thinking that you might be deficient in your faith, you might not have what it takes, He's taken care of that. He's actually given us that faith to use, and it's actually released whenever His Word is preached. Those words spoken in faith, that power is released. So He's basically saying again, I am that I am. I am, put a blank. What do you want to write in that today? What do you want to write in that blank? I am your healer. I am your deliverer. I am all in all. I am your everything. And He means it, and He backs it up. Let's go on to Prosperity. Is that in the package? Financial prosperity. That's just one little small area. Being prosperous is a bunch of different areas. God has a way of manifestation there too, right? Faith through love. And then he says, give. You have the kingdom of darkness, you have the kingdom of light. You have the kingdom of God over here, you have the kingdom of Satan over here. You were transformed out of this kingdom over here and its principles and how it operates. You were transformed over here into this kingdom, the kingdom of light, the kingdom that God rules and reigns in. He has different principles and rules. This one over here says, get all you can all you get, and sit on the can financially. Everybody heard that? I did. How about this one over here? You all know the scriptures. Give, and it shall be given. Well, that's crazy. How can you give? Do you won't have? But then he goes on to say, you give, I'll multiply it and give it back to you. And he gave the illustration of the seed and the sower. And he says, I give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So he takes care of our needs. And he gives us seed to sow, to give. And then he says, once you sow it, then it comes back to you multiplied, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing, shall men, doesn't come out of heaven, God's not a counterfeiter, shall men give into your bosom. A lot of people say, well, I've got a good job because I'm smart and I work hard. And it's sweat equity. I sweat and I work and it's mine. I earned it. Did he give you the ability? Would you have that brain power if it wasn't for God? Those talents and gifts that you demonstrate at your job 40 plus hours a week. Would you really have that if you weren't blessed by God? No. So technically, if you really want to be technical, your entire income and everything you have whenever you became born again is God's. So then, if he's the owner, then you're the steward. That's another hint. Whenever we are transformed from thinking that we're the owner into becoming the steward of God's resources in our lives, that hole that we had over here of holding everything, putting it in the can and sitting on the can, that mentality starts to go. And you make that transition from over here in thinking that you're still in the kingdom of darkness being ruled and reigned by them and operating according to Satan's rules, and you're transformed over here into the kingdom of God and operating according to his principles. So what else is in the package? Health. Whenever we operate at God's best, you don't need the healing anymore because you're actually operating in divine health. If a symptom comes against you, you allow the power of God to flow into that situation, take care of it. And it's a whole lot easier to walk in divine health than it is, quote, trying to get your healing. But once you understand the principle, then it's a lot easier. But for those of you that are dealing with stuff like that, still, it's no big deal because God has given it to you. It's yours. Like he talked about, it's the children's bread. Whenever he talked about going and bringing healing to only those who were Jews, that's what Jesus, that was his mission. All of that, we're his children now. So it's ours. I want to clarify one thing. Whenever it says that we're heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, remember, over here in this kingdom of darkness, it talks about if you have two sons, then you divide it equally. that means that he's got it and he's got it and daddy don't have it anymore because it's limited. But you see, in God's kingdom over here, God owns the cattle on a thousand hills and the hills too. He owns the universes. He owns everything. And his domain is unlimited. So whenever he says that we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, it doesn't mean whenever he splits it up between two brothers, well, you get half and you get half. No, that's not God's kingdom. You get it all and you get it all. It's hard to wrap your brain around that, isn't it? But you see, God's resources are unlimited. So he can do that. We can be joint heirs, equal heirs with Christ Jesus. And it doesn't diminish anything that anyone else is able to own or operate or act as a steward of. Because God has it all. And he is unlimited. So make that transition over into God's realm and seeing things through God's eyes, okay? Deliverance. Colossians 1:13 says that we're delivered from the power of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Deliverance. It says that Jesus was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. John 10:10 says that I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Kingdom of darkness, God's kingdom. You choose. If that ability of the kingdom of darkness to rule and reign over us is broken, we can operate over here all the time. A lot of people today deal with depression, spirit of fear, whatever. It has no right to operate in your life ever again from this day forward. That's of Satan. You can rebuke it and stand on the Word of God, and that power is released, and it drives out those demons that have haunted people with bad memories of childhood, of things like that, of abuse, different things in their background. God has given us that power to take care of that, to walk in wholeness continually. What does it say in James? It says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he shall flee. It doesn't say that he might, or if he wants to, or if you're good enough, or if you don't think those thoughts, or you didn't read your Bible enough today. It didn't say any of those things. Whenever you submit yourself to God, it's saying, God, you're real. You love me. You gave your son just for me. He was tortured. He took upon himself, it says, griefs and sorrows. He bore our griefs and carried our sorrows in Isaiah 53, verse 4. It says that he did that. Now, griefs and sorrows, that is sickness, but it's also he carried our pains. Another way that that's translated, pains. Depression is pain. And it's real. It's in the soulish realm, the mind, will, emotions. It's real. But that's where Satan and demons attack people. If they can ever get you over into the emotional realm, it's tough. But you have authority. It's been given to you by God. If you need someone to assist you, a prayer partner, a prayer minister, someone that you know you can confide in, that it won't go anywhere else, and I'm sure you have plenty of people here. Pastor Bob assured me that there are people here that have been trained, that are honest, and have integrity, that you can trust. And it's okay to ask for help. Why do you think he said, you know, if you're sick, call for the elders. They'll anoint you with oil and pray over you. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. That goes for not only physical calamity to your body, but it also has to do with emotional healing also. God's a good God. He's provided for everything so that we can walk in that John 10:10, that abundant life, a life of freedom, liberty in Him, not condemned. You can actually smile and not try to hide junk that's going on inside, okay? I've been there. I know. You come and put your face on. I've done it myself. But you really can't radiate what's inside of you, that Zoe life, the life of God, whenever you start to realize that you are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. I touched on this earlier, but I want to emphasize this right now. It says that we become sons of God whenever Jesus Christ is our Savior. I pray that you will understand the difference between a servant and a son. You were a servant over here to a taskmaster, to Satan. Whenever you were born again, whenever you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that you had no hope of anything, whenever you ask Him to come in and be the leader and Savior and master of your life, you were translated over here. You went from a servant of Satan to a son of God. Amen. Some people haven't made that transition. Their spirit has come over here, but they're still over here in their soulish realm and in their flesh, and they're still servants. They're still trying to earn from God. They do all the work at the church. They show up early. They stay late. They work. They come and go witnessing. They read 40 chapters a week. They pray from early in the morning. I'm not trying to make light of it. But that doesn't get you anywhere with God. He already sees you as a son. He sees you in the Beloved. He sees you just like Jesus. In fact, once you start understanding the Scriptures, you are, in your spirit, just like Jesus. Your spirit is holy, it's pure, it's righteous, and that's who God communicates with. He says that your sins are separated from you as far as the east is from the west, and He remembers them no more. So those things in your mind that pop up about, well, I didn't do things right, I shouldn't handle it that way, those things that come up, God doesn't remember them. So why should you? Don't worry about it. Move on. God loves you just the way you are. You were a whole lot worse than that whenever he died for you, right? So you're His son now, so He sees you differently. You have the whole inheritance. You have everything that God is and has. He's made it available to you. Now let's look at the process. It says that He's not ashamed of the gospel, the grace of God, for the power of God, the dunamis, the miracle-working power of God, basically is released through faith, the faith of Christ, through salvation. Those things that we talked about that are in the definition of salvation, all those things are ours. Every single one of them. We have the ability to operate in each one of them. Today is the day of manifestation of whatever you need. Let's look at Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me. It says that if thou wilt shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's one of the words of the salvation that we've already talked about. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we have belief, we have faith, the faith of Christ. All you got to do is put your mouth to what God said You're agreeing with God. You're confessing what God said. If you're dealing with depression, God said that you've been given authority over Satan and all his host. You've been delivered out of the kingdom of darkness. You have the right to speak to it, to tell it, you have no authority over me. I bind you right now in Jesus' name. You have to go. I submit myself to God. I resist you. And then what do you do as an act of faith? You get up out of the bed where you've been for a while. And you go out and you do whatever the Lord's telling you to do at that time. It may be to help somebody. It's a situation where it's an act of faith. Because faith without works is dead. The person who was hanging on to the limb, you have to let go. You have to trust God. You can fall into the arms of Almighty God. His gospel, His good news, is how that power is translated into your life for whatever area you need help in. He's designed it that way. If it hadn't been working up until this point in your life, maybe as you focus your attention back on the gospel, back on God's plan for releasing His power into your life, and you realize that it's not about you. It's about Jesus. It's about what He did for you that you couldn't do for yourself. And don't be ashamed of it. Rejoice in it, knowing it's not your deal. You're just receiving everything that God has given to you.